about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America. Happy Thursday, everybody. I'm back in the studio today. Well, remember, please, when I'm on the road, like I was at Woodward yesterday, Jared has been really good about keeping the show on the Facebook, but when you turn it on, all you're going to see is our brown Today in Ag emblem, but that the show's still playing. You can still, you're just going to watch an emblem instead of my beautiful face and my Magoo glasses on. So yeah, it's still playing on Facebook. So I just want to pass that along for you. And anyway, it's 60 degrees at Arnett at the not-so-famous Lori Campbell today. I'm mad at her. Reason why? Her brother? I didn't know he worked at KWFX 100.1 at Woodward. We're listening to the show up there, too. I had no clue. I'm really upset with her because she didn't... she was hot. She's holding out on me. So, anyway, I know him now. All fun and game. 59 at Slapout, 58 degrees at the May Ranch, 51 at Lahoma, 50 degrees at Eric, 53 degrees at Hollis. And out here in the panhandle of Texas, we have 62 at Lipscomb, 60 degrees at Dozer, 55 at Odell, and Childress, you're 57 degrees. I just want to say that was probably yesterday's deal at the ranch conversation at the event, Woodward County Event Grounds up there, Woodard. That was really cool to watch. There was a lot of important people there, but there's just a lot of good old people like us there too. And I had some really good conversations with some of the older ranchers, not on the show. This is just out in there, and some interesting conversations. I've been thinking about that, but first, I'll get on with what I'm trying to tell you. Well, Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture Arthur Blaine was there yesterday as the luncheon speaker, and I'm going to tell you something. Between her and her sister, Dr. Biggs at OSU, them's two highly intelligent, wonderful people. They're just like us. But I missed about 10 minutes of the secretary's luncheon speech. And then after my show, I got to listen to the rest of it. She talked for 45 minutes. I didn't see anybody looking bored with her conversation or like, oh, is she done yet? She talked 45 minutes straight, never missed a lick. Very interesting, highly intelligent conversation, and she's one of us. I hope one of these days she runs for governor, because I'll vote for her. She's just so down to earth. She'll speak to you. She's not too good to speak to you. She's good old Okey. How's that? So I just wanted to compliment the Oklahoma Secretary, Oklahoma Ag Secretary, Blaine Arthur. She's a really, really, really good speaker and a really, 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 really good human being. So thanks for being there, and thanks for the ranch conservation conversation deal up there, having me there. They got a couple more coming up. One's coming up in January, and I'll tell you more about it next month in Fairview. And rumors has it Lacey Swope's going to be the guest speaker there. And then they got another one coming up, and I think in February in Tologa. If you guys get a chance, you need to go to one of these. And one of the deals, I read it on the show yesterday, that they were You know, it started back when the soil bank came in back in the late 50s, and then in the 80s, the CRP program come up. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I talked to a couple of the ranchers from out in the panhandle. You know, there was these guys were in their, they're probably in their, I'd say the ones I talked to yesterday were in their late 70s and early 80s, and are in their 80s. I don't know if it's early or not. Got to talking about that, you know, there was a, the programs caused, did some good and caused some bad. And the soil bank deal, I remember as a kid, because I was born in 62, but I remember a kid, as a kid, the soil banks in the 60s. That is why I remember about them. I like the way they did the soil bank better than they do the CRP today, because there was a lot of stuff, you guys remember, there was a lot of stuff put in those soil banks as far as grasses, pollinators, feed and stuff like that. And the, you know, the hunting, whether it's deer hunting or quail hunting and stuff like that. And remember the prairie chicken back then was thriving. I just remember going up north into Roger Mills County and up into Ellis and in Texas Panhandle that, you know, you seen, it wasn't ever second occurrence, but you seen some prairie chickens. Well, then in the early 80s, they switched, and this is just a conversation I'm having here. I'm not judging nobody. Then they switched to the CRP. And my thoughts on the CRP is it's a great program for what it's intended for, but it's worthless for wildlife. Yes, it's good bedding. Up in Kansas, it's great for pheasant to hide out in. But there's nothing in there for them to eat. It's too thick for quail. So to get back to when I'm talking to these gentlemen here, you know, it had its negative effect and its positive effect. And the negative effect was is they put a lot of farm ground into out of cultivation and put it into grass. And the soil bank was a 10-year program, and I'm not sure about the CRP, if them were 15, 20, 25, 30-year programs. It could have been all of those above. And so during the soil bank deal, you know, there was guys going around buying up land because they knew the soil bank was coming or that it was already in place, buying up land for $50, $60, $70 an acre and putting it in the soil bank program for $10 an acre per year. And when they pulled it out of the soil bank, their land was paid for. It was, hey, smart business as far as I'm concerned. That didn't go over so well with some of the ag businesses, you know, tractor places, implement places, fertilizer, co-ops, because you, the thing is, you couldn't have any cattle on them places. So if there's no cattle, them ranchers, farmers didn't need any feed to feed those out on that ground that went in the soil bank. And this was happening down here in western Oklahoma too. This is not, I'm not just picking on the panhandle with this subject, but this was going on everywhere. And then in the early 80s, whole different ballgame. They went to CRP, but as you guys know that are my age or older, you remember what was going on in the 80s. Prices were down. Cattle wasn't worth nothing. Farmers were broke, commodity prices down, and so they went into the CRP. That's all they could do if they could afford to do that, and just to help pay the bills. They were doing stuff like that. But I remember as a kid, grew up around Elk City. You know, we had a Case dealership here in Elk City. We had Midwest Farm Supply, John Deere implement dealer. And it just... You know, the Case dealer's not here no more. I don't know if what the what happened in the 80s was its downfall. And I know another business, not judging them, but I just remember that. And it was feed stores. I think it was down there on South Main, Western Feed Store, if I remember right. And, you know, you had all this going on. And dairies, you guys remember, there was dairies almost in every section in western Oklahoma, especially in Roger Mills County and northern Beckham County. There was dairies. EPA came in and, you know, was part of that later on down the road. But, you know, API, the milk for buyers, you know, they, instead of buying the milk from the dairy farmers and taking it if it wasn't meat specs and dumping it, they just wouldn't pick it up at the dairy farm. And that's just some of it, not all of it. And now, how many dairies we got? How many farm equipment dealers do we have? And you just get to thinking about everything that's happened from, I don't remember nothing in the 50s, promise you, the late 50s and the soil bank, how all those programs, it just how farming and ranching changed in that time frame. And it's not necessarily the soil bank or the CRP's problem, or was the problem of it. It was one of them, but it didn't totally cause that. Fertilizer places going out of business and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. It's just interesting to, I called Jimmy Speaker and was talking to him about it. And he said, yeah. He said, I remember back in the 80s, he said, I was borrowing tons of money just to keep the farm store open. And I had 20, 25 tractors parked out of the guy's house, because I couldn't sell them. Farmers didn't have any money. And it's just, you get to thinking about what has happened since the 50s till now with farming. It's a tough life. It's not for the weak-hearted to do, but I don't know. I just got to thinking about that, and I thought I would share that, my thoughts with you. Not, like I said, I'm not judging nobody. It just happens. And it's just, and the farms are getting bigger, and the ranches are getting bigger. The small farms are kind of going by the, because I consider myself a very small farm. I'm a pimple on a big farmer's face, compared to what some of the farmers, bigger farmers do. But it's just the smaller one guys just keep getting, some of them are getting bigger. Some of them are just going out of, hey, I'm 65 years old. Somebody wants to buy my farm for $2,500 an acre. Here you go. And adios, I'm going to the mountains. I don't blame them. I would too. And it's just crazy what goes on in our farm and ranching world. Just crazy. Well, today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what? When that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 9th. 1,393 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 518 brought 332. 7 at 529 brought 333. 8 at 610 brought 291. 11 at 687 brought 258. 38 at 804 brought 256. 10 at 812 brought 246. 4 at 864 brought 250. 26 head of heifers at 495 brought 307. 10 at 530 brought 285. 8 at 604 brought 230. 22 at 779 brought 241.50. 10 of 844 24 brought 224. 3 at 935 brought 218. Butcher cows were 52 to 128. Butcher bulls brought 95 to 147. Bred cows were 1800 to 2370. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is a lot more than just a cattle show. See for yourself January 4th through the 16th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sale of elite genetics, something for every operation. Enjoy the commercial cattleman's luncheon January 9th at 11 a.m. with the commercial female replacement sale at 1 p.m. For a full schedule and sale information, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
My program director thinks I'm a smart ass. I don't understand why. Canadian, Texas, 62 degrees. Here's your ag weather update. We're out there in the Texas Panhandle. Humidity's 23%, dew point's 24. The winds are out of the north at 20 with the wind gust up to 28 miles an hour. No rainfall this month. Don't look like we're going to get any. They go from last month to this month with record rainfall last month and zero this month. How about that? Surprising. Red flag minutes, zero. Sub-freezing minutes today, 19 minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 44 degrees. I want to add something before I get on to ag news to my conversation I was having with you guys earlier. So in the 80s, when the CRP program kicked in, there was, farming was hurt. Farmers and ranchers were hurting back in the 80s, as you all well know and remember, because I worked at K&D Farm and Ranch at Foss, and I just remember, it was struggling times, and if you got a new tractor, I don't know why you would have got one. Good financing, I guess. But one of the stories I heard from one of the gentlemen yesterday at the ranch conversation was that, there was a 80s, the farming was hurting. Nobody had any money. CRP came into it, but, CRP was just paying enough to probably pay your land payments, or maybe it wasn't. And a lot of guys, a lot of farmers were selling their, and ranchers were selling some of their land, so they didn't lose it all, or they're going to lose it all, and have people coming in and buying that land up and putting it in the CRP program. Honestly, I'm just, if somebody text in and correct me what the years is. If I remember right, in the 80s, those CRP programs were 20 or 25 or 30 years. I don't remember. Maybe there was special 15 years. I know what they are today, but back in the 80s. So they were buying this land for a few $100 an acre. People were that had money and putting it in the CRP, and it was basically paying for itself. And when they took it out of CRP, well, that'd been back in the early 2000s or 2010, the land was paid for, whatever. And that was one of the complaints some of the residents, like, let's just take a county, for example. I'm going to pick on Beaver County. I'm going to pick Beaver County. There's a lot of landowners up there in Beaver County that are non-resident back then. I'm talking back then, and maybe still today, I don't know. Back then, and they didn't maintain their fence. They were non-resident. The land was just an investment, and they weren't going to hire anybody to take care of it. It was in CRP. If the NRCS needed them to do anything, and then they'd hire somebody to do it, whether it was hay it, burn it, or if they even done that. And, that was one of the other things that just kind of was a burr under the saddle with the people that actually lived in, let's say, Beaver County. You know, these guys don't even know where they probably knew where they was from. They might be from New York City. Who knows? They didn't maintain their ground. And then here comes along wildfires. And this non-maintained ground was, helped fuel the wildfires, stuff like that. And it's like Don Williams from Balco was saying yesterday, it come on my show, he said, prescribed burning is a big plus, and that's where that comes in. Now, when it's in the CRP, I think nowadays it's like every 5 years you can either mow it or burn it. And if it's in a drought deal, you know, they give you a deal to hay it, you know, like they did back 2011 or 12 when we was in that drought. They released the CRP for haying for a certain time period, which is cool. So, anyway, I just want to throw that in there and just add to the story of the soil bank and CRP days. I remember when I was working for them over there at Foss, is we had layout land. And I wasn't on the business end of it. I was just a hired hand, drive a tractor, do this, build fence, move cattle. But I just remember the soil, the NRCS coming out and, or the FSA coming out and they would measure off wheat fields that you couldn't plant that, the layout ground. You've planted everything else. Or if you took it upon yourself to measure it out, you better hope he was right. Cause I know the ones over at Custer County, they were picky. They wanted her down to the exact square foot, whatever that is. I just remember some of that stuff. Never even thought about it. Cause it wasn't my business then. I was just a hired hand. I just remember the layout ground, stuff like that. Pretty interesting stuff. And I remember when 3/4 of bale cotton was really good back then when you was stomping cotton in the cotton trailers and a 2-row and 4-row strippers and pickers or whatever there was. I'm still not a cotton expert. I'm sorry. I'm just not into cotton. That's my gig. I know a lot of people. Speaking of cotton, the Cotton King, Jimmy Rhodes, Monday, going to be in here for the whole show. We're going to call it the Jimmy Clark and Jimmy Rhodes Christmas special for Today in Ag. You don't want to miss out Monday. We're going to be talking about cotton crops this year, old stories. We're going to dig more into why horse riding come to an abrupt end 28 years ago, I think. And we're going to talk about some of his feedlot experience, some funny stories. Maybe this last trip to Vegas to the NFR, see how him and his beautiful wife did out there. I bet she puts a leash on him or a shock collar. That's what she needs to do with Tammy, needs to do that with him. But it's going to be Jimmy Clark and Jimmy Rhodes Christmas special on Today in Ag Monday on the show. Hopefully I have a job when I come back Tuesday. So, all right, let's check out what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading and favorable weather in parts of Australia. Rainfall will be limited in the next 10 days, allowing farmers to get back into fields and continue harvesting their wheat, said Don Kinley, an ag meteorologist for Maxar. Rainfall will favor parts of the Queensland and Victoria into the weekend. Precipitation fell in parts of the U.S. Delta region where soft red winter wheat is overwintering. Rains in the northern growing areas likely improve prospects. Global wheat production in the 24-25 marketing year is now forecast by the USDA at around 793 million metric tons, up slightly from the 791.2 a year earlier. Russian output, however, is expected to plunge year over year amid unfavorable growing weather over there. Wheat futures for March delivery lost 9.25 cents to $5.32 a bushel, while Kansas City futures fell 6.5 cents to $5.42 a bushel. Corn futures for March delivery dropped 1 cent to 436 and a quarter a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery fell 0.75 cents to $9.52 a bushel. Overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal lost 60 cents to $285.50 a short ton, and soybean oil was up 0.44 cents to 40.37 cents a pound. Ethanol output, it's Thursday. Got to talk about ethanol. They're probably all excited. We're going E15 year-round now, it sounds like. Maybe. Ethanol output jumped to 3-week high in the 7 days and ended on December 13th, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production rose to an average of 1.103 million barrels a day last week. That's up from 1.78 million barrels. Not much, but it's met. In the Midwest, the biggest producer of ethanol jumped to an average of 1.045 million barrels a day. That's up from 1.015 million the week prior. West Coast production increased to 10,000 barrels a day, up from 9. East Coast output was unchanged at 12,000. Rocky Mountain was steady at 14,000. The Gulf Coast was the only decliner for the week, falling to an average of 23,000 barrels a day, down from 29,000. Ethanol inventories declined a little bit, falling to 22.636 million. That's down, not much. It's down from 22.648 million a week earlier. Weather in our farm belt. Just winter weather up north. Michigan, 7 inches snow. Minnesota, 7 inches of snow. Strong winds will cause blowing snow, and potentially reduce visibilities. In Wisconsin, heavy snow with accumulations of 7 to 10 are expected tomorrow morning. Higher amounts are forecast closer to the Great Lakes. There you have it. All right, I got it. Before we go to break, I got a question for you to answer. And what do I got? What I bring up? I got a Wheeler General Store bad to the bone 6-inch rain gauge. It's a pretty cool rain gauge. I like it. It's got Wheeler General Store on it. It says High Pro Seeds. Oh, I got it. Here's a question. You guys, listen up. If you just want to play, text in the answer. If you want the rain gauge, put your name down with your answer, 580-225-9697. All right, listen up. So Jimmy has 4 horses on his place. He also has 3 cows and 2 dogs. 4 horses, 3 cows, 2 dogs. How many legs does he have? Be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This Christmas, shop local. The Depot Trading Company Men's and More Store in downtown Elk City is your destination for a great selection of men's clothing, plus the most unique men's, pets, and household gifts, barbecue grills, spices, accessories, and outdoor party gear. Check out their 50% off rack while you're there. The Depot Trading Company Men's and More Store, 318 South Main Street in downtown Elk City. This Christmas, come on in and enjoy the ride.
Are you Mr. Fix-It? Like to make things run? When you're covering expanded areas with long-term contracts, you hire more people. Canyon Oilfield Services needs lead mechanics with tech tool knowledge and with your own tools. And they need these lead mechanics in Elk City, Hinton, and Chickasha. They also need experienced roustabouts and Class A CDL drivers in Elk City, Hinton, and Chickasha. The pay is oil field good, and Canyon's large customer base and diverse services means job security. Benefits are exceptional. Health, dental, vision, and life insurance, a good retirement plan, and a longevity bonus at the end of the year. Hiring lead mechanics, roustabouts, and drivers in Elk City, Hinton, and Chickasha. Apply at the Elk City office on Highway 6, 3/4 mile south of the golf course. Or call 225-7100. 225-7100. 225-7100. At Canyon Oilfield Services, the key word is service. Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Again, sent bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard his ear said, "Maraca, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
I think every customer wants to be treated like they're the only customer. They want to be treated with respect. At First National Bank, every customer is important to us. Every customer does matter to us. And we try to treat each customer with respect and humanity. It doesn't matter if you have $2 million or $2, you're treated the same with respect and honesty. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Did you know a cow's energy requirement increases 1% for each degree the cattle comfort index is below 32 degrees? And that energy would double to 2% if the animal is wet to the skin. One way to help with that is feeding them with MaxiGain or Range Max cattle cubes, all available at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Get yours today in bulk or bags. That's SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And follow SEI Agritech on Facebook for ag news and information on their products.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, you guys must took your smart pills overnight. So far, everybody's got it right, and we do have a winner, and the correct answer is yes, Jimmy has two legs. I got to change my ways. I don't like it when everybody gets it right. And then I contacted the winner or sent him a text back. They know who they are. All right, let's check out some weather in northwestern Oklahoma. Let's go to Buffalo. 59 degrees, dew points 28, humidity's 30, the winds are out of the north at 13, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 42 degrees, sunset at 525, let me rephrase that, 525. I don't want any deer hunters out in the holiday antlerous season to be hunting till 528, be at 30 minutes, so what does that put you, 558? No, 555 is your deadline. 62 and sunny today, north winds 5 to 6 miles an hour. Tonight, 24 for a low, 48 for a high tomorrow. And that is your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. Okay. Also got another question for you guys, since we got basically a little under a half a show left. I seen this on Facebook last night. Here's the question for you. You don't have to send me your name. Just an answer. What's been the hardest part about farming this year? And I'm going to read you some of these answers. And of course, I think before I even looked at it, my guess was either weather or government. Yeah, I was pretty close. Here's some of the answers they got. There was one person really tacky about the USDA FSA lending staff. You don't want to go there as a beginning farmer. I call bull on that. They've always been good. I don't know. Something went on there. So anyway, we'll go on past that. Where did all the money go that I was making? Disease and the government not letting poultry farms vaccinate for them. I didn't even know there was a vaccination out for chickens, and I'm not sure that I'd eat chicken if they were vaccinated. Weather, 44 inches of rain in April and have not had any since. And grain prices. Listening to pork farmers that look and sound like pasty pork. Markets and labor for sure, affording to do it next year. Weather, getting customers to pay their bills. making money, juggling the side work we have to keep the lights on, recovering just the input cost, turning a profit, running out of money, weather, input prices and markets, weather. This is interesting. Said sea eagles killing stock, so they must be somewhere along the shore. The mental stress, that's the one that I have to, you know, sad, but it is mental stress. Marketing, weather, no rain, government, stupidity. One of them was stupidity. So what's your thought? What has been the hardest part about farming this year? What's your thoughts on that? All right, let's see here. Let's do the Lipscomb Grain Market, or Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market update here. Let me find it. Let's see what's happening. And that thing needs to be rebooted. Bear with me a second here. I'm going to spin the wheel. Come on. There we go. That's better. 1230. All right. December corn, I'm sorry, March corn, 440, up 3. May, 446, up 2.25. Soybeans for January, 961, up 9.25. March, 964, up 11.5. Soybean meal, January, 284.90, up 540. March, 291.80, up 570. Soybean oil, January, 39.87, up 32. Wheat, the red kind and the hard kind, March, 543, down 5.5. May is 551, down 5.75. Cotton for next July, 70.19, down 0.04. West Texas oil, January, 70.22, down 36. Natural gas, men's creeping on up. January, 349, up 11. And the NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow are all in the green. You know why I think they're in the green today? Because Elon and President-elect Trump was running their mouths yesterday. So something positive come out of that. I don't know what. I didn't even pay no attention. I seen it. Well, I got a deal up here to update you on what Trump did with the end of this. What is it? Stopgap spending bill. And he's not even president yet. This is crazy. December live cattle, 190.30, down 1. February, 186.70, down 162. Feeder cattle, January, 254.52, down 247. March is 254.82, down 255. Lean hogs, February, 83.67, basically unchanged. It's down like 2 cents. And April, 88.90, unchanged. And there you have it. All right, where is that deal on what happened yesterday? There. Remember yesterday I was bragging about the federal funding bill? Well, it collapsed. It didn't even last 8 hours. So it's putting ag aid at risk. CBS News, Kayla Hubbard, reported late last Wednesday evening that the House Speaker Mike Johnson scrapped a last-minute measure to avoid a government shutdown after facing opposition from fellow Republicans, including President-elect Donald Trump. It wasn't all Trump's doing. There was a lot of guys in the House who didn't want nothing to do with it and who objected to the billions of dollars in spending that had been added to the bill. Lawmakers are facing a Friday deadline to approve new spending. The measure released Tuesday would have extended its funding through March 14th, but it also included disaster aid, healthcare policy extenders, and a pay raise for members of Congress. Now, see, I didn't see that crap yesterday. No, I didn't. Among other provisions, the disaster relief portion of the bill alone carried a price tag of $110 billion, said Hubbard and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. Out of Louisiana, I'm not sure, confirmed the stopgap funding measure is dead and the path forward is unclear. There's no new agreement right now, according to Hubbard and the Burns reporting. The Office of Management and Budget told federal agencies to start communicating with employees about shutdown procedures starting at 10 a.m. mañana. Sources familiar told CBS late night Wednesday that the agencies were told to have their shutdown preparations in order and ready to go. Speaking of agencies, yesterday they had a big party at the Beckham County FSA, and Mrs. Lori Fite retired from the FSA. I don't know how many total years you had in there. I didn't see that on your Facebook page, but congratulations. And I bet you will be one busy lady with those grandkids of you, because they're ropers, softball, basketball, whatever. You're going to be a busy lady. So congratulations, Lori. And from my heart to you, I want to appreciate all the help you've given me in the last, 12 years, 11? You've helped me with my stuff. So thank you very much. And I hope you enjoy retirement. All right. The Hill's Michael Schnell reported Wednesday that Speaker Mike Johnson is looking at a plan B to fund the government ahead of Friday's shutdown deadline, as Republicans inside and outside the Capitol, including President-elect Trump and his allies, slam his spending package. The backup option Johnson is examining is a clean continuing resolution, two sources familiar with the matter told Hill. This would entail dropping the additional provisions that were included in the initial 1,500-page spending package negotiated by congressional leaders. You guys really think, even with aides, I don't care how many aides, do you think each representative read through that whole 1,500-page spending package? What do you guys think? Probably not. President-elect Donald Trump, however, left the door open to including farm aid and disaster assistance in the new bill. That's pretty cool, Mr. Trump. That was a good move. I know you're already elected, but you want to stay on our good side out here. Republicans want to support our farmers, pay for disaster relief, and set our country up for success in 2025. The only way to do that is with a temporary funding bill without Democrat giveaways combined with the increase in the debt ceiling. Anything else is betrayal of our country, according to President-elect Trump. The ag aid included the original bill to farmer progressive farmers Chris Clayton would provide $20.78 billion to help producers with disaster losses over the past 2 years. So the breakdown of some of the major crops was corn, $43.80 an acre. Soybeans, $30.61 per acre. Wheat, $31.80 an acre. Seed cotton, $84 an acre. Sorghum, $41 an acre. Rice, $71.737 per acre. Those payments would be subject to a $125,000 payment limit that would go up to $250,000 for producers who receive 75% or more of their gross income from farming. There you go. All right, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau happy hour break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From pump to pivot. Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Ever have one of those days where your gut just feels blah?
Ugh, yes.
Occasional bloating or gas could be signs that your gut is out of balance, but Align Probiotic can help. Align 24/7 Digestive Support is a daily-use probiotic with a unique strain to help relieve occasional digestive issues. It's the number one doctor-recommended brand. So when you feel the signs, it's time to try Align. Align Probiotic. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
If you're a hard-working farmer or rancher in need of a hard-working off-road vehicle, then Lipscomb Power Sports in Wichita Falls has the Can-Am side-by-sides you need to navigate your land and get your business done. With big year-end closeout savings on popular Commander, Maverick, and Defender models. Plus, with tax code 179, your business can immediately deduct the cost of your new Can-Am UTV this holiday season. Save more at Lipscomb Power Sports in Wichita Falls and LipscombPowerSports.com between now and year end.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Hollis, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather update for the big town of Hollis down there, capital of Harmon County. 53 degrees, feels like 53, dew point's 28, humidity's 39, north-northwest winds right now, 7 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 49 degrees. Sunset at 5:31, 62 and sunny today, 30 and clear tonight. Tomorrow, 55 and sunny with north to southeast winds, 7-8 miles an hour. Huh, north to south. I guess it switches. It's be out of the north in the morning. And when you go to bed, it'll be out of the southeast. Pretty cut and dry here. All right, let's see here. What do we want to do? Okay, my question earlier is what's been the hardest part about farming this year? Let me come in over the text line. One answer was, other than the lack of rain, we've had a pretty good year. Must be from up north because they had pretty good rain all year. And somebody said 36 legs. Finally, somebody got it wrong. No, it's 2 legs. My question was, on my farm, I got 4 horses, 3 cows, and 2 dogs. How many legs do I have? 2. My 2 legs. And there you got it. Okay, let's see here. Screw worm. We haven't talked about the screw worm in about a week or so. All I can tell you is before I read this article that come out of the beef email. If you have any doubts, any questions, go to Facebook and go to a cattle page and ask them what to do. I'm kidding. Don't. They're not vets. There might be a vet on there, but all right. If you got any questions about the screw worm, your best person is to talk to your vet. Right now, that one screw worm case was in southern Mexico, next to their southern border down there. Nothing has got into the USA as of right now, but it's been working its way this direction. Sooner or later, it's going to come. So every cattle producer knows the pests are a challenge to our operations, but some pests are far more dangerous than others. One of the new threats to our herd comes from the New World screwworm, which is currently advancing through Central America into southern Mexico and can soon be at our border. You never know. The New World screwworm is a fly that has a particularly gory way of harming our cattle. Female New World screwworms flies lay their eggs in open wounds or body orifices of which the larva, that's when the larva hatches. They burrow deep into the skin like a screw driving into wood. These maggots feed on the cattle's tissues, causing larger wounds as they go. The New World screwworm flies and they're burrowing on lava, cause extensive damage to cattle, and infestations can spread rapidly. In 1966, we eradicated screwworms in the United States through the through sterile insect technique. The U.S. Department of Ag bred sterile male flies that made it with the wild female screwworms and failed to produce offspring. Eventually, these flies died out in the U.S., and now they only exist in a handful of South American countries. Unfortunately, these flesh-eating flies are on their march north. Since 2022, the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services has confirmed the presence of New World screwworms in Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala. Just last month, screwworms were discovered in southern Mexico, which raised red flags up here. Once in Mexico, it's easy for the screwworms to travel north and appear on our southern border. These flies can hitch a ride on people, livestock, wild animals, not to mention thousands of vehicles and cargo containers traveling through Mexico to the United States. And we know how devastating it would be if the New World screwworm returned to the United States, which is why the NCBA is raising the alarm now. First, we are communicating with Mexico's cattle industry leaders so that they can begin the process of screening for those flies and push for eradication efforts in their country. We are also supporting the USDA to bolster the use of sterile flies. Recently, we have been concerned that our existing sterile flies might not be getting the job done, and so the NCBA is pushing for more flies and better flies that will help us fight back these pests. Although we haven't confirmed any New World screwworms in the United States, we need you to be on high alert. New World screwworms have orange eyes and a metallic blue or green body and three dark stripes across their back. So I didn't know what they looked like. I knew they had red eyes or orange eyes, but I didn't know all that. So they got, let's read that again. Has orange eyes and a metallic blue or green body and three dark stripes across their back. If you see any suspicious flies, please alert your local veterinarian, extension agent, or call the USDA Veterinarian Services. Capture one. Kill it. Bring it in. Make sure it ain't one, man. This is something else we need to mess with. Oh, I just want to update you on what's happening with the screw worm. All right. Let's see. Texas A&M. I seen the article come up with my Texas A&M AgriLife today. But Haley's proud I talked Texas A&M. One of my good friends, Dr. Kaysen, the peanut guru down there at College Station, he made the news today. So, Texas A&M AgriLife to develop market for high. Yeah, I got thumbs up from Haley. What is there some kind of call sign to be an Aggie? What is it? Anyway, peanut breeders establish a new opportunity to support U.S. growers. The growing market for peanuts isn't in candy bars or sports stadium, but in cooking oil and renewable fuel. A Texas A&M AgriLife team is exploring avenues to help develop the new pipeline for producing high oil peanuts. How crazy is that? We will be working with both growers and industrial partners on developing economic models for the establishment of a total new industry. We need to get our foot in that door, said Dr. John Kaysen, PhD, AgriLife Research Peanut Breeder in Texas. We're going to have him. I'm not going to share the rest of the story. I'm going to have him come on the show here in the next few weeks and talk about this. It's pretty cool. And they're using peanut oil for a biofuel. Pretty cool stuff. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed today. See you tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre America. God bless.